Mandate, brought to you by Selton Manx, global leader in sports betting, a partner in the island's success.
Good morning. The nation has chosen. The Manx people have spoken. And it's the biggest shake-up of our parliament for 40 years. A ministerial scalp as 5 members lose their seats, 12 new faces, 5 female members, 3 recounts. In an extended mandate this morning, we'll be reflecting on the highs, the lows, the joys and the woes. John Moss and I are with you until 9 o'clock. As a wind of change blows through Manx politics, the news headlines first of all. Let's go down to Marion Kenny.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your legal needs.
Marion.
Yes, good morning. Thanks, James. The next House of Keys will be awash with new blood, but there'll be a dearth of political experience. 12 of the 24 members enter national politics for the first time. After 5 former members were ousted at the polls yesterday, 7 more choosing not to defend their seats. 4 more women MHKs have been elected, swelling female ranks in Tynwald, and the Lib Van Party has a louder voice, with 3 members winning seats in the National Parliament. Last night's casualties include Infrastructure Minister Phil Gawn, David Quirk rejected in Onchan, and Leonard Singer ousted in Ramsey. Vocal backbencher John Horton lost his seat in Douglas North, and around the island in the newly drawn constituencies, new members were elected alongside those defending seats. There was no change in Rushen, Douglas South and Glenfaber and Peel. In Garth, 2 new fresh faces were guaranteed. Their collective job now, to learn their roles, run with the issues the island's facing, and perhaps most daunting of all, live up to their manifesto pledges. Further afield, and what's thought to be the biggest ever cyber breach, has seen personal details of 500 million Yahoo users stolen. The internet giant says it happened 2 years ago, but was only recently found as part of an internal investigation. The Prime Minister says she's determined to stop British troops being hounded by spurious allegations of misconduct. Theresa May has told defence chiefs every effort must be made to prevent people abusing the legal system to make claims against those who've served in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. A police chief in Charlotte in North Carolina has admitted footage of a black man being shot dead there doesn't definitively show him pointing a gun at officers. His family claims he was only holding a book. And in sport, there'll be at least one more Old Firm clash this season, as Rangers and Celtic have been drawn to face each other in the semi-finals of the Scottish League Cup. It'll be Aberdeen against Morton in the other game. James.
Thanks very much, Marion Kenny.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your general and commercial legal needs. Call 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend.
I hereby give formal notice that the candidates elected at the above election are as follows. Alexander John Allenson of St Olive's Rectory, St Olive's Close, Ramsey, and Laurie Lee Hooper of the Riggs, Mount Alden, Ramsey.
I therefore give notice that the duly elected candidates and now members of the House of Keys for North Douglas are David John Ashford and Ralph George Peake.
Robert Howard Quayle, 1,205 votes. William Carto Shimmons, 1,357 votes. I hereby give notice that each of Robert Howard Quayle and William Carto Shimmons are hereby elected.
I accordingly declare that Rob Edward Collister and Julie Marie Edge are returned to serve in the House of Keys for the constituency of Onchan. Thank you.
Well, there we have it. The new look to the House. And interestingly, James, of course, 12 new members, 12 old members, which will be working together.
Exactly half. And more than a century of political experience, of course, remember, lost at a stroke.
Let's have a look. For those waking up, what the results were last night, I'm going to run through them quickly. Arbury Castletown and Malou, Jason Morehouse and Graham Cregeen, Aaron Michael, Alfred Cannon and Tim Baker, Douglas Central, Chris Thomas and Anne Corlett, Douglas East, Claire Betterson and Chris Robertshaw, Douglas North, David Ashford and Ralph Peake, Douglas South, Kate Beecroft and Bill Mullarkey. In Garth, Martin Perkins and Daphne Kane. In Glen Ferber and Peel, Ray Harmer and Geoffrey Boot. In Middle, Bill Shimmins and Howard Quayle. In Onken, Rob Collister and Julie Edge. In Ramsey, Alex Allenson and Laurie Hooper. And in Russian, Juan Watterson and Lawrence Skelly. 12 new names, 12 old names in the mix.
Indeed, politics can be a tough old business. The euphoria of winning an election, a career which takes you to the centre of government, responsibility and some glittering prizes when a high office beckons. But when it's over, it can be pretty brutal. The former Russian MHK and Infrastructure Minister Phil Gorn, one of the big casualties on the evening, confronting an entirely new future from today after losing his seat last night. He'll be minister for a few more days yet. Standing in Arbury, Castletown and Malou after the boundaries were withdrawn, he couldn't build sufficient support to make it back to the Keys. Castle Russian High School teacher Jason Morehouse, the runaway winner, Graham Cregeen retained the second seat. And speaking to Tim Glover, Mr Gorn was gracious in defeat.
So there we are, that is the result, and there's always disappointment, and you can see why we've had the recounts and the drama here down at Arbury, Castletown and Malou, and handshakes amongst the candidates, and we'll just grab a word with Phil Gorn, if we may. I'm going to do interviews with the candidates, Phil, but commiserations, Phil. Why do you think you've not got in this time?
Well, all I know is that I conducted the best possible campaign I could, and I obviously congratulate the other candidates, and if anyone out there fancies helping me dig spuds tomorrow, I'll be in the garden. So,
you said a zero-hour contract that the wife's imposing on you to go out in the garden.
Yes,
we were joking
yeah.
before when we'd seen the initial results.
Yes, yeah. And you know, obviously I'm disappointed, but I've had 13 and a half glorious years representing Russian. Disappointed, obviously, I couldn't be here. But at one end of the garden, the pheasants are digging the spuds, and I need to get them before the pheasants get them all dug. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Do you think having infrastructure, being the Minister for Infrastructure, has been a bit of a poison chalice?
No, I don't, because it's a fantastic department and there's some really good work going on. Sadly, the good work doesn't get reported as well as the things that go wrong. We do hundreds and hundreds of things every week, and the few things that don't work are the ones that hit the headlines. I think that's an inevitable part about politics. But, no, I've had a really fantastic time in politics, and now I have to find something else to do.
Is this the end of your political career then? I think you were saying this might well be your last term if you were elected.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you never say never, do you? But I'm young enough to find something else, a new sort of direction in you know, my life, and yeah, now's the time to move on. It'd be great to see the family again.
Going, Gorn. It was 13 and a half glorious years, as he described it, but that is the end of his Timwell career. Mr Gorn, John pushed into third place.
Yeah, I remember when he first came in. I think he was surprised to be elected in the first place. But since then, he has taken on some of the jobs that really bring him face to face with the public and are not the jobs to take on if you want to get on in politics. Now, we know that when the leadership contest for the Chief Minister happens, one of the contestants, Lawrence Skelly, is someone who has been in a job which has been out of the public eye, not face to face with the public. That's probably, it seems, the way to get on in Manx politics, is to actually stay out of the firing line, if you can, doing work behind the scenes, etc., and then emerging from there. Phil Gorn, when he says he's getting back to digging potatoes, he means that, obviously. He's very much got a life down there in the shadow of Cronkneagh Lay, on his small holding, his farm there, and he'll get back to it, and doubtless as he's turning those spuds over, he'll be thinking about things. I don't think we'll see him back again.
I don't either. I think he'll be missed by the media. He's always been very approachable on a wide range of issues. Lawrence Skelly, we'll talk about him a little bit later on. He would argue that certainly in the last couple of months, he has been at the height of coverage, but certainly it doesn't help if you get on with your work quietly in the background sometimes.
Mr. Skelly is great at basically, he's head of the department, but of course, when things happen sort of thing, it's very difficult to pin Mr. Skelly down to say, hands up, that was entirely down to me. He does it on occasion, but anyway.
And that's probably, John, why he shouldn't be the island's next chief minister.
Which is not for us to say.
But we'll hear about the reasons why later.
It's up for the House of Keys and Tynwald and legislative council members. But let's get back to that interesting contest down in the south of the island. And teacher Jason Morehouse was in school yesterday taking classes. He was nipping out from time to time. He's a teacher at Castle Rushen. He's an economics tutor. He topped the polls in Arbury, Castletown and Mulloo. He and defending former MHK Graham Crageen will now represent a constituency with, it has to be said, three distinct communities. Tim Glover caught up with an elated Mr. Morehouse just after the declaration.
I'm really, really pleased, yeah. It's best of my life.
What are you going to take to the House of Keys then? What differences are you going to bring?
I just want to look at it in a different way, a simpler way, not a way of actually spending money, but getting the best from all our resources.
And what's the priority? Is that the priority?
Yeah, I think the priority must be we must actually hold on to those reserves. We're in a really strong position at the moment. We can't get rid of that money. We've got to be out there competing and look strong.
And what about here in Castletown and Arbury and Mulloo? It's a different component for you to deal with, isn't it, from 5 years ago?
Yeah, definitely. It's a completely different constituency. All areas have got things they need to move forward on. We need to get something happening with Castletown in terms of becoming more attractive as a regional centre, and that hopefully will make the island stronger. Things like the airport gateway need to be pushed, need to be developed and help us all move forward.
What about the rural areas then?
Oh, the rural areas are huge. I've spent many, many days wandering around, finding the farms, and yeah, there's a lot of issues with agriculture, and that's something that needs to be considered, because farmers aren't just there to produce the food, they're there to look after the environment, and they're important people.
What happens with your teaching role?
That is my first problem, because I've loved being at Castle Rush. It's been an amazing place to work, and I'll be speaking with Mr. Winstanley tomorrow.
You've got a lot of learning, obviously, of the intricacies of politics, haven't you, and how Tynwald and how the House of Keys work.
Well, yeah, definitely. It's an exciting new start. Lots of things to learn, but hopefully I'm a fast learner. I can be out there making a difference.
Congratulations. It's been a long night, hasn't it?
Incredibly long, yeah. I was at this one at 5 o'clock. I went to the gym before. We actually started this process now, 1 o'clock, so yeah, a long, long time.
Arbury, Castletown, Mulloo, I think it was the penultimate declaration. A government minister ousted, Graham Crageen, and top of the poll, Jason Morehouse in. And interestingly, the exit polls, unerringly accurate, really, on the whole, predicted Jason Morehouse to top the poll.
There were three recounts last night, incidentally. The Douglas North, now this was interesting, because I think we were all assuming that it was a question of will John Horton be back in the House sitting there? Will he be allowed back in? But in the effect, the question doesn't arise, because the two big stories in Douglas North was David Ashford, a challenger, topping the poll, and John Horton, who topped the poll last time and has been in there for 20 years, finishing third and losing his seat. Ralph Peake, he's done enough to convince voters to stick with him, obviously. He came in during last year's by-election. He was second last night, but Ed Oldham caught up with the three afterwards, starting with, it has to be said, a fairly angry Mr. Horton.
Mr. Horton, a disappointing night for you after 20 years in the constituency. The people have decided that they don't want you to continue as one of their MHKs. So what was your initial feeling?
My initial feeling in this, it's very disappointing, of course it is, but there has to be winners and losers, and we have to take that on board, of course. The issue is very much in this particular case here, everybody was watching this campaign, and of course, the scurrilous newspaper campaign against me, and also from the Lambdens, who've driven this, they'll be full of winning and applaud tonight, in order to because they've won.
Do you think it damaged you?
Oh, it's damaged me. Yes, a smear campaign going on so relentlessly by Isle of Man newspapers in the way it was, and they published a letter in the paper this week. Who could not but be affected by that? And that's how that has happened. So I'm a victim of a smear campaign. It's quite as simple as that, of course, you know what I mean. But it would be remiss of me not to say that David Ashford and Ralph Peake will represent this this constituency well, and I wish them well. And of course, and I'm quite sure that with a fair wind, they'll look after the constituents as well as I hope I have in my tenure of office.
David Ashford, congratulations once again. It must be a great feeling after missing out last year at the by-election to Ralph Peake, now your colleague in North Douglas in the House of Keys, topping the poll as predicted by our exit polls as well. Must be a good feeling.
It is indeed, but it's also tempered by the fact that I know the next 5 years are going to be one of the toughest in living memory for any Tim Ward. And there's a lot of challenges ahead. There's no time for any member who's just been elected to rest on their laurels. They need to start working hard from day one and start actually getting things done for the people of the island. In the last Tim Ward, I feel there's been far too much infighting between members, and we've got to get away from it being about personalities and back to being about policies.
Well, speaking of working together, do you feel that you can work well with Mr. Peake?
I most certainly do. I get along very, very well with Ralph, and I hope he'd say the same about me as well. We got along very well in the by-election last year. Unlike South Douglas by-election, we didn't have a punch-up, so it went very, very well. And I actually think we'll work very good together in the House of Keys for the benefit, not just of the constituents of Douglas North, but everyone around the island.
Some people, when they decide to try and enter national politics, they give it one go, and if they don't get in, they give up. But you were more determined than that, weren't you? You wanted to make this leap from local authority to national.
I did, because, I feel the next 5 years is going to be a real trial for our island. We really do need people in who are committed to trying to get decisions made. I put myself forward many times for local authority. I believed I had something to offer at a national level, and the electorate tonight believes I do as well, and I've now got 5 years to repay that trust.
And just finally, what are your priorities?
My priorities are exactly what I said at the requisition meeting and my manifesto. The priorities have got to be fixing the public sector pensions, because unless that's fixed, there's not going to be any money for anything else, diversifying the economy and ensuring that we do have a smaller and smarter government.
Thank you very much, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Mr. Peake, just been chatting to David Ashford outside as well. He thinks that the two of you have already got a good relationship, you get on well, and that you can work very well together in Douglas North. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I met David obviously at the by-election last year. We had a great campaign, and again today I've worked with him in Douglasborough Council and the Wilson Steering Group Committee, and looking forward to working with them obviously a lot closer now together for Douglas North.
And what's top of the pile for you straight away to do?
To enjoy tomorrow.
And take it from there.
That's right. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, interestingly with John Horton, of course, and James and I were just discussing this, he's always been seen as a very good constituency MHK. He gets in there, helps his constituents when they need helping. On the national scene, he's been quite controversial, but at that level, he's been very good. So, James, what went wrong for him?
Well, presumably it was the whole episode in May when he was suspended from Tynwald. He's a firebrand. I was surprised. Williston, if anything, was even more the centre of Douglas North this time with the boundary changes, and that's always been his sort of rock bed of support. Incidentally, some of his comments there, he's going to be in another legal battle with one or two if he carries that line
certainly
on.
Some of the claims against some of the media, etc., we'll see what happens there. But if you're just waking up and wondering what happened last night, let me run down the election results last night quickly. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo, Jason Morehouse and Graham Crajean are the members. Aaron Michael, Alfred Cannon and Tim Baker. Douglas Central, Chris Thomas and Anne Corlett. Douglas East, Claire Betterson and Chris Robertshaw. Douglas North, David Ashford and Ralph Peake. In Douglas South, Kate Beecroft and Bill Mullarkey. In Garth, Martin Perkins and Daphne Kane. In Glenfarber and Peel, Ray Harmer and Geoffrey Boot. In Middle, Bill Shimmins and Howard Quayle. In Onken, Rob Collister and Julie Edge. In Ramsey, Alex Allenson and Laurie Hooper. And in Russian, Joan Watterson and Lawrence Skelly. If you're trying to do the maths, let me tell you, there are 5 women in there and there are 12 new names and 12 old ones.
Indeed, and John Horton in Douglas North, not even close, well beaten by Ralph Peake and David Ashford. Got to say, David Ashford, bright chap, will work hard, will be a real loss to the council as well.
He certainly knows all about being on a big body like that and commanding body. He comes straight in with that experience.
Absolutely. Him and Ralph
Peake. And goodness knows we need experience.
Well, at least he'll be able to hit the ground running to a certain extent. That is Douglas North. You're listening to Mandate. It is, we'll just break off from the election briefly. It's 11 minutes to 8.
Manx Radio Sport.
Let's join Tim.
Moramai. Let's look ahead to the weekend and in football. Corinthians obviously not in action. Their games are postponed for understandable reasons. But in the Canada Live Premier League, Corinthians were meant to be playing the leaders St Mary's. So that gives St George's the opportunity to go top if the champions win away at Ramsey. The other top flight games, Laxey against Douglas Athletic. It's Peel against Colby. That game being played though at Colby, Russian Entertain Union Mills and Air travel to St John's. In rugby, South Lancashire and Cheshire Division 1, Douglas are at home against Sefton. In Division 2, Vagas are at home against Eagle. And in Division 3, Ramsey are away at winless Wallasey. Four games scheduled as well in the Shimon Wilson Manx Shield. In the PWC Mixed Hockey Premier League, the leaders, after their thumping victory 14-0 last Saturday, Backers A, they play Harlequins A. Celts are up against Vikings A, and it's Valkyries A against Backers B in the PWC Mixed Hockey Premier League. We also see netball return. The new season starts on Sunday, but there was a tournament last weekend. Details on that now from Rachel Andrew, the Netball Development Officer.
It was a pre-season tournament. We hold it every year. It's a charity one that's for Helen Kelly, who was one of our players who unfortunately died. So we hold a tournament each year to raise money for Walton Hospital, which is where her parents ask for the fundraising to go. We had 20 teams involved, and that was right from the winners of the Premiership last year to a new team who's actually joining the leagues this year. So it was a great morning. It was just lovely to see so many people down there back playing and testing out, playing under new rules, because the rules have changed slightly this year. And also the new courts at the NSC, because it's the first time we've been back in there playing since the floods last December.
Initial impressions then of the NSC?
Great. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, they're good.
New lighting and new flooring, everything, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's just really bright, and the changing facilities, everything is just, they were great.
Spot
it's really
on.
Good, it is. The eventual winners of the tournament were SNP Baller A, who played Simcox A in the final, and they won 13-1.
Rachel Andrew, and just to top that, £465 was raised during that tournament last week. Good luck to all the ladies playing on Sunday at the start of the new season. That is your sport this Friday morning.
Thanks very much, Tim. Later on in the programme at 8.30, we'll have two of the fresh faces coming in live into the programme. That's later on. We've been mentioning the importance of having women in the House, but we haven't actually had a woman on the programme yet. Let me just mention five women in the House now. Claire Betterson, Julie Edge, Kate Beecroft, Daphne Kane and Anne Corlett.
We'll hear from one of them in a few moments.
Citywing.com. Going to all your favourite destinations this summer. Whether for business or pleasure, let Citywing take you to Glasgow and beyond. Manx Telecom are not only a full-service telecoms provider and data centre operator, we are one of the largest purchasers and hosts of IT hardware on the island. We offer a wide variety of IT equipment from leading brands to organisations of all sizes to help maintain your competitive edge. Now you can take advantage of us having more buying power, experience and skills than any other local provider. To get a no-obligation quote and to find out about finance options, call our sales team on 636 636 or visit manxtelecom.com/hardware. Focus is the all-in-one banking and investment service from NetBank Private Wealth with
1.
Application form
1.
Relationship manager
1.
Multi-currency account
1.
Consolidated report
1.
Easy banking solution for international travel or shopping.
All from the number 1 for international banking service at the International Fund and Product Awards. For full terms and conditions, go to nedbankprivatewealth.com.
NetBank Private Wealth is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Official Isle of Man government figures show that heating your home with oil is cheaper than gas, and no costly standing charges to pay for either. So keep topped up with Manx Petroleum. Manx Petroleum deliver a range of quality fuels to island homes, businesses, industry and agriculture. For details of our automatic delivery service, easy payment plan, boiler servicing and repairs, contact Manx Petroleum on 691 691, the island's premier fuel supplier.
For summer fun, take a trip to Glasgow with Citywing. Enjoy art, music, food and culture. Escape into the past at the historic Pollock House or visit an inflatable fun city, roller disco, or there's a summer beach at the Riverside Museum. This summer, the adventure begins when you travel to Glasgow with Citywing.
Welcome back. Well, a late night, a recount and a close-cut battle between former politician dominated an exciting evening in Douglas East. The seaside of the capital was a bit of a free-for-all, really. Eight candidates competing for its two seats. Newcomer Claire Betterson topped the poll, incumbent Chris Robertshaw second,
Alex Bell was there on a polling night full of surprises.
The sun sets, well, it's been set for quite a while, on a very busy night in Douglas East and a very late night in Douglas East. The constituency that saw a very close-cut election, a recount first of all, before that result even came through. The result perhaps not reflective of the exit polls after all. In first place, the exit poll was spot on, Claire Bettison. The exit poll, though, predicted Chris Robertshaw, incumbent MHK, would lose his seat. He, however, did not. Amanda Walker, who was suggested for second place, lost out, as did John Jockin, the MHK who served for 11 months. It can't even begin to be sinking in yet, Claire Bettison. What a victory, out by a country mile in front. It must feel great.
Absolutely, and I think it's really reiterated to me the importance of getting out there. I was able to do a complete canvas and go back on the outs. You know, people hadn't caught the first opportunity. I did deliveries to begin with, the manifesto, and I also did an update on, for people. And I think that's something I want to see absolutely as key to my time in the Keys, is keeping in touch with people. I don't want to stick with the old-fashioned surgery approach where you sit in the room 3 hours waiting for people to turn up. I want to go out to the people and find out time and again what it is that's really affecting them in democracy for the country that we've all picked as our home.
And you might not have heard yet, the results might not have come to you just yet at the time of recording, but you're one of four women so far this evening to have been elected to the House of Keys. A massive increase on the last administration. That's got to be good news for female representation.
Absolutely, and I've said from the beginning, we do need more women in politics. I never wanted to be elected because I'm a woman. I wanted to be elected because I am the best person for the job. And I think that stands for all of the other females I've spoken to. We still find ourselves in a situation where, despite the fact we've got four women elected, we only had 13 out of 63 candidates. So we need to encourage women. We need to try and move away from the side where people, you know, females in our population don't feel that they're up to the job, or they don't feel that they're going to be able to cope with the criticism they're going to get. We need to provide a supportive environment, because actually I've met a huge number of women and men on the doorstep who could offer a huge amount to us in the political arena. And I think we need to embrace that and really encourage people to come forward and get involved in the democratic process, not just as voting, but actually becoming more involved in the whole discussion as to where we go in our, for our island.
Christopher Roy Robertshaw, 487.
A continuation of your political career. What's different? What's going to change?
Well, a tremendous amount. I think there's going to be a period now where we need to digest not only our results, but right across the island, and deliberate on exactly what it was that the electorate have said to us, because I think there's more than one message in there for us to consider.
Narrowly missing out on defending his seat in third place was John Jockin, placing behind incumbent MHK Chris Robertshaw by a margin of just 7 votes. But Mr. Jockin took it with good grace and humility.
Well, I would like to say it was a very keenly contested contest. There were some very, very credible candidates. And what I really liked about it was a really clean campaign and the very, very worthy candidates. So I'm delighted that it came out the way it did. And I'm delighted for Claire as well. Claire and her family, she's worked very, very hard. So I wish her the best of success in the future.
And the hall has actually emptied really rather quickly now, but one person who is left, returning officer Terence McDonald. Terence, a fraught night.
Yes, but the point is that at least there was only one recount, and I have to say that it was narrow, wasn't it? So, in fact, I've got no criticisms. I think if I'd been a candidate and there was such a narrow difference, I'd have asked for a recount as well.
I mean, 7 votes between second and third, that's not only got to hurt for a candidate, but it must be a tear-in-your-hair-out situation as a returning officer.
Well, yes, in some ways, but that's what we do. We have to ensure that democracy, that democracy prevails, but more important, that the candidates are happy with the way the election went. And Mr. Jockin showed himself to be a fine, courageous person, and he accepted the second recount, so he deserves some praise.
And just compared on previous elections, you've been a returning officer here for quite a number of years. In the past few years, we've had a couple of by-elections, of course, a general election in 2011. Have proceedings run more smoothly this year, a bit more rough this year, roughly the same?
Well, I have to say that I really haven't had a great deal of experience in this country, but I was, in fact, A returning officer in the UK, and for those people who are going to be very surprised, I was actually returning officer for Harold Wilson, and his elections went very well. But my experience of Manx elections is that they do go smoothly.
Alex Bellett, Douglas East. It's news time.
Now you can grab a Subway breakfast from 8 a.m. Monday to Saturday at Subway, Chester Street, Douglas. Choose from a range of 6-inch breakfast subs with a fresh coffee or Tropicana juice from only £2.
Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shore Radio Vanin. This is Manx Radio.
The island has chosen a new House of Keys. Change is in the air as the old guard gives way to fresh blood. 50% of the new House has no previous national political experience, but promises of fresh thinking and a new approach. It's the end of the line for a senior minister unseated at the polls and political wilderness for backbencher John Horton out of the Keys. Manx Radio News at 8 o'clock. Maramai, good morning. I'm Marion Kenny. The people have chosen for fresh blood to take them forward in what is the biggest shake-up of Manx Parliament since 1976. 50% of the new chamber have no previous Keys experience, while five female politicians will be part of the next House following yesterday's general election. There were shocks in Arbury, Castletown and Maloo and in Douglas North as Infrastructure Chief Phil Gorn and vocal backbencher John Horton were shunned by voters. Chris Cave reports.
Much of the talk in the build-up to the election was about disillusionment in Tynwald and how Manx politicians were out of touch with the people. The outcome? The electorate has voted overwhelmingly for change. Long-serving members Leonard Singer and David Quirk are among five casualties that adds to more than 100 years of political experience departing the chamber as they fell victim to new faces. Other senior figures, such as Graham Cregeen, Howard Quayle and Chris Robertshaw, are back, but didn't top the polls in their respective constituencies. Three out of the 12 constituencies have returned representatives with no previous Keys experience, and there's also a chamber more reflective of our society. Claire Bettison, Daphne Kane, Anne Corlett and Julie Edge increased the number of women in the chamber to five alongside Kate Beecroft, who was returned. Those calling for party politics now also have a louder voice, as Lib Van boasts three seats in the Keys. The election result signals the dismantling of the old guard and serves as a wake-up call to the established order.
Claire Bettison is now one of five female MHKs the public's chosen to take the island forward. She won outright in Douglas East, with Chris Robertshaw retaining his seat. Ms. Bettison believes her direct approach with constituents is something she'll look to continue.
Anything that you do that helps to engage different sectors of the community and of the population of Douglas East is absolutely a benefit. And I think we have to make ourselves more accessible. What I want to see is the opportunity for people to have all of my information in whatever format is most appropriate to them, and to reach out not just to the people who voted, but also those people who are so disenfranchised that they haven't even registered on the electoral roll, and to try and go some way to re-engaging them in democracy.
Claire Bettison will swell female ranks in Tynwald alongside Daphne Kane, elected in Garth, along with Martin Perkins. Two new faces guaranteed there after the departure of Steve Roden and boundary reform, which means two MHKs are returned from each constituency. Lib Van member Julie Edge strode to victory in Onchan, creating a new political pairing in the village with Commissioner Rob Collister. One of the biggest shocks of the night came in Douglas North. Long-standing vocal backbencher John Horton didn't get the backing of voters this time around. David Ashford, a councillor in Douglas, topped the polls, with Ralph Peake returning for his first full term in the Keys. Mr Horton was unhappy with what he called a smear campaign against him.
The issue is very much in this particular case here, everybody was watching this campaign, and of course the scurrilous newspaper campaign against me, and also from the Lambdons, who've driven this, they'll be full of winning and applaud tonight, in order to because they've won.
Do you think it damaged you?
Oh, it's damaged me, yes. A smear campaign going on so relentlessly by Isle of Man newspapers in the way it was, and they published a letter in the paper this week. Who could not but be affected by that? And that's how that has happened.
John Horton. Well, it was a night to remember for Jason Morehouse in the south of the island. The economics teacher at Castle Russian High School received more votes than Graham Cregine in Arbury, Castletown and Maloo, with Infrastructure Minister Phil Gaughan losing his seat. Mr Morehouse couldn't quite believe the result.
Oh, really, really pleased, yeah. It's best of my life.
What are you going to take to the House of Keys then? What differences are you going to bring?
I just want to look at it in a different way, a simpler way, not a way of actually spending money, but getting the best from all our resources. I think the priority must be we must actually hold on to those reserves. We're in a really strong position at the moment. We can't get rid of that money. We've got to be out there competing and look strong.
Party politics holds stronger weight in the Keys following last night's result. The success of Lib Van now sees them with three seats in the chamber. Laurie Hooper, elected in Ramsey, was one of two new party members to join leader Kate Beecroft.
Yeah, I think a sort of a wider mix in government will be helpful. More younger people, more women being elected, as we've seen across the island. So, yeah, definitely. Thanks very much to everyone that's helped me out throughout this campaign, my family and especially my wife. There's no way I could have done this without you. That's really it. I'm still in shock, to be honest. So, like I said, thank you very much. I will do my absolute best for you.
Mr Hooper celebrated his win alongside local GP Alex Allenson, who won a commanding victory with almost 50% of the vote. Together, they saw off Leonard Singer, whose political career looks to be at an end. In Middle, bank boss Bill Shimmins topped the poll and Health Minister Howard Quayle held his seat in a tight contest with Paul Crane. Economic Development Minister Lawrence Skelly believes he's been vindicated by constituents, but admits recent scandals in his department have harmed his popularity. The MHK successfully defended his seat in Rushen last night, placed second in the polls behind fellow incumbent Juan Watterson. Mr Skelly won 1,200 ballots, over 1,000 fewer than in the previous general election in 2011. He conceded that developments such as the failed TT World Series project, the Vision 9 contract fiasco, and an ongoing dispute over the Villa Marina did his campaign no favours.
There is a legacy, and I think that's reflective in the vote more than anything else. But that's not about, I think it's all about what you actually achieve on the aggregate, and that's what's happened tonight. The people of Rushen have actually put their faith in me, and I'm overjoyed with that, to be quite frank. And so I'm glad to be back.
Lawrence Skelly. Well, there was no change in Douglas South and Glenn Faber and Peel, with Kate Beecroft, Bill Mullarkey in the capital, and Geoffrey Boot and Ray Harmer out west retaining their seats. In Aaron Michael, Alf Cannon was joined by newcomer Tim Baker. In other news, get ready to rumble at the Villa Marina this evening. Thriller in the Villa is something quite different from the normal boxing bout. It's classed as a white-collar event open to office workers to give the sport a go. Last year's inaugural meeting raised more than £20,000 for Hospice, Isle of Man and Rebecca House. International headlines next.
If you're a local business looking to implement ISO standards for business management, environmental management or information security, there's only one place to call: ISO QA Isle of Man. We also offer energy management and are government accredited, so grants may be available. Visit isoiom.com.
One story from further afield, and a police chief in Charlotte in North Carolina has admitted footage of a black man being shot dead doesn't definitively show him pointing a gun at officers. Keith Scott's family claim he was only holding a book. They've been shown footage of what happened on Tuesday. Speaking to the Kelly File on Fox News, Police Chief Kerr Putney admitted the video isn't very clear.
What I can tell you is the video is not the most definitive piece of evidence we would have hoped for. You can't really see what's in his hands, and you cannot see him making a gesture like pointing the gun, which would be much more definitive.
And that's the news. I'll have the headlines at 8:30.
Save time. Save travelling. Save money too. Head to your nearest ShopRite, where convenience doesn't cost a penny extra.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio, weather.
Mary and Kenny in the newsroom. Well, dry and bright this morning with sunny spells, turning gradually cloudier this afternoon, little patchy light rain developing by this evening and tonight. Tomorrow, a poor day, strong to gale force, southerly winds and rain at times, turning heavy and persistent later. That rain will clear tomorrow night, leaving sunshine and isolated showers on Sunday.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Traffic and Travel, brought to you by the Isle of Man Motor Museum.
Everything fine at the airport. That is a delay, of course, to the Ben McCree. It will depart for Heysham at 9 o'clock this morning, as opposed to the scheduled 8 o'clock. That's because of tidal conditions. And nothing new, really, to tell you about on the roads. Child cycle training for pupils at Manor Park, Moran and Michael School today.
Don't miss the first ever Isle of Man Motor Museum Auto Jumble on Sunday the 25th of September from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. With free entry into the jumble, you'll find parts, tools, machinery and more at the Isle of Man Motor Museum on the 25th of September.
You're listening to Mandate on Manx Radio with John Moss and myself, James Davis, especially extended Mandate after the biggest shake-up of our Parliament since 1976, the morning after the day before, John.
Indeed, yes, you didn't have the political climate there to put in the weather forecast, because that's, I don't know how that's changed. 12 new faces, 12 old ones. Let's, for people waking up and wanting to know what's happened, let me tell you, this is what's happened. These are the new members of the House of Keys. In Arbury, Castan and Malou, Jason Morehouse and Graham Crajean. In Aaron Michael, Alfred Cannon and Tim Baker. In Douglas Central, Chris Thomas and Anne Corlett. In Douglas East, Claire Betterson and Chris Robertshaw. Douglas North, David Ashford and Ralph Peake. In Douglas South, Kate Beecroft and Bill Mullarky. In Garth, Martin Perkins and Daphne Kane. Glenfebber and Peel, Grey Harmer and Geoffrey Boot. In Middle, Bill Shimmons and Howard Quayle. In Onken, Rob Collister and Julie Edge. In Ramsey, Alex Allenson and Laurie Hooper. And in Russian, Joan Watterson and Lauren Skelly. Five women's names in there, 12 new names, 12 old names. And we just heard about Joan Watterson earlier. It's largely assumed that he wants to go for the Speaker's role, I think. Which,
yes, I don't think that there's any secret Joan Watterson wants to be Speaker. We were discussing this last night on the programme, though. He's 36 years old. Quite frankly,
that would be extraordinarily young.
Well, for a man of 36, he has more. That would be, we joked about it last night, akin to putting his slippers on. He must be something more challenging on in the next House. He can be Speaker later if he's successful. The body of experience we've been left with means Joan Watterson needs to be a government minister, not Speaker of the House of Keys, respectfully. Top the poll again, an impressive vote.
Well, the question really everyone's asking is who's going to be Chief Minister now? The show has moved on. One candidate was predicted to lose his seat by the exit polls, but it didn't happen, which means that Howard Quayle is still in the mix. But it was in Middle, Bill Shimmons, who topped the poll.
I'm very much looking forward to serving the people of Middle and Isle of Man.
A banking background, that'll be useful, do you think, in sorting out the island?
Well, I think so. I think some financial expertise will be helpful, but also I think there are many other aspects, as well as banking on the island, so I hope it'll be a team effort, and I'm very much looking forward to working with Howard.
Tough times ahead.
Oh, they are. There are some challenges, but, you know, the Isle of Man is a very resilient place, and so I'm positive about the future.
Well, here's the man that you'll be working with, Howard Quayle. Desperately close. You must have been a bit nervous for a while.
Well, when I saw your exit poll, John, I was a little bit, but that wasn't how I'd seen it. So I'm delighted with the vote. Three very strong candidates, very close. And, you know, thank you, everyone, for giving me their support. I've had a very tough job as Health and Social Care Minister. It obviously ate into, you know, my majority from last time, but there was a bit 100 odd votes between all of us, and as a Paul, very strong candidate, he gave a very good clean fight, as did Bill, and I look forward to working with Bill for the next 5 years for the benefit of the island.
Are you going to put your name forward as Chief Minister?
Well, I think I'll have to see who else has been re-elected.
Do you see yourself?
I have been asked by quite a few people to stand for that position, but I'll have to see who else has been re-elected.
But you'll be putting your name forward if asked.
If asked, yes.
He didn't actually answer the question, would he want to be Chief Minister? One assumes that if you put your name forward or agree to it, then you would agree to be Chief Minister. Someone else we haven't mentioned in the mix, obviously. Lawrence Skelly's in the mix for Chief Minister. Howard Quayle and obviously Alfred Cannon, I suppose, as well. Some people will be putting forward, James.
Well, there will be views on this, and obviously it's for the members to decide. Alfred Cannon's ability is not in doubt, but he can't be the top boy, you would suspect, when he hasn't been the Minister of a government department yet, realistically. So I'm sure he'll be in line for a ministerial position, but probably not the top job. Howard Quayle, I've got to say, he's been one of the success stories, really, over the last 5 years. Been made a bit of a scapegoat for this row over the young boy who needs this drug for the muscle-wasting disease. Of course, in many ways, he couldn't win. The health minister's not a clinician. He relies on expert views. He was made by a scapegoat by some for that. In fact, he's got in. That's the main thing. I think Howard Quayle would tell you himself he's not Mr. Charisma. But he is respected, he is strong, he's made progress in health and would be a safe pair of hands, a strong domestic leader.
I should say there are other candidates available because it sounds almost as if we're acting for
not at all,
for Howard Quayle, but we'd be interested.
Chris Robertshaw's name has cropped up, Lawrence Skelly's name has cropped up, and I'm sure Lawrence Skelly has a role to play. But after the debacle of the TT World Series, the Vision 9 contract farce, and that's without even mentioning the Villa Gaiety chaos.
It doesn't look good on his CV.
No, not at all. But it's up to the members, not the public.
Well, let's just return to middle, because Paul Crane, who many thought would get in, was third. Basically, he wasn't elected. But listen to this for a lesson in losing with dignity.
I don't know. The exit poll was showing that I might be in. But as you see the papers stack up, I could see from a fairly early stage I thought I was in third place, and that's the way it came out. So I'm hugely thankful to 1,090 people who voted for me, and delighted with that. Disappointed, obviously, not to be in, but hugely thankful for the team of people who've given me terrific support going through this. I couldn't have asked for more. I just wish Bill and Howard all the very best as they tackle some very serious issues in the Keys and Tynwald over the next 5 years.
You're in a constituency that had very strong candidates.
We certainly did, yes, we certainly did. Even William Bowers, who came behind me, but he joined the campaign late in some ways. And there were four strong candidates. I think we can all hold our heads high. Yes, it's disappointing when you don't get in, but that's the way that the politics works.
Will you be back?
I don't think I'll be back in 5 years' time. I've had two goes at this. I guess if a by-election arose somewhere in between, maybe I'd think about it. But I don't think so. I think, if you push the door twice and it doesn't open well, I think that's probably it. Yeah. But I've thoroughly enjoyed being involved. I've enjoyed the campaigning. I've enjoyed all the conversations I've had with many, many people. Learned an enormous amount about the Isle of Man and this constituency and the issues and just the views of people and their concerns. So it's been a privilege to stand. I'd encourage others to stand in the future. There's more to it than just the winning. There's what you gain out of it as an individual, and I feel I've gained, so I don't feel I've lost in that sense. It's been a great experience.
Acceptance of defeat, they're rather different to that of John Horton's, it has to be said. And there must be a place in politics for Paul Crane. He has a lot of experience in government. And it would be useful to have him inside the machine.
He has wanted this for so long, and I know deep down he'll be gutted by this, and he's probably been campaigning more than most, well known through his time on Moran Commissioners. You were always going to feel sorry for whoever was third in middle, because there were a good calibre of candidates there. You mentioned John Horton, John. Phil says Horton sees blame with all but himself, and that's precisely the reason why the electorate considered him as unelectable. He's always the victim. The pension issue and the recent suspension from Tynwald, of course, would have been factors, no question.
Incidentally, we've had inquiries from you, and one of them was how many of the candidates are Manx born and bred. We have to say we don't know. That's the sort of thing that you'd need about 6 months' notice and then scratching your head to find out. But we don't know, but we will make inquiries. But it's sort of open to debate, even to say whether you're Manx born and bred.
Absolutely. We've just had another message in among many, and we can't bring you them all because we're being bombarded, from Marie, who says she doesn't believe Howard Quayle is a candidate for Chief Minister. She says Kate Beecroft or Chris Robertshaw are more suitable. This is going to be debated. The phone calls will have probably started last night.
It's going to be fascinating.
Kate Beecroft falls into the Alf Cannon category. If you haven't been a minister of a government department, how are you meant to run the island?
But this is up to get into the Keys initially, and then Ledgeco, when they join in the tussle to elect the chief minister, that's for them to decide. And it is, well, is it a beauty contest? Is it a popularity contest? What is it? Is it down to what people think they can do for the country?
Whoever gets the job, we need a united group of politicians, and it'll be interesting to see when nominations come forward next week, and then a week on Tuesday with the vote, how it works. Well, we talked about Mr Cannon there. Let's head to Aaron Michael. There's no major shock there. Mr Cannon successful, more than 1,700 votes. Exit polls had actually got the young guy, 27-year-old Carlos Phillips, in second, but it was Tim Baker who became the constituency's second MHK. Judith Lay was at the count as the pair addressed supporters.
I think there are many challenges ahead. They're real and they're credible, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to address these challenges. But as a Manxman, I know that we have the determination and resilience not only to overcome these challenges, but find brightness in the future ahead. I very much hope the next government will knuckle down at an early stage to produce a convincing plan that we can have hope and confidence in. And finally, I would just like to say thank you very much, of course, to my family, who have been hugely supportive throughout the last 5 years and the last 6 weeks, and I couldn't have done it without them. So thank you.
I'd just like to thank everybody who voted for me. I'd like to thank the people of Aaron Michael for their confidence in me. I look forward to working with ALF to take both the constituency and the island as a whole forward. Most of all, I want to thank the team who worked really, really closely with me, particularly my wife Viv and Julie in particular, but everybody who's believed in me. And I want to repay that faith over the next 5 years and get this constituency and the island as a whole going back in the right direction and working as a team. And I really, really look forward to it. And I'm humbled, to be honest, by the faith that's been put in me. And I won't let you down. Thank you very much. In the last couple of hours, the next 5 years of my life and my family's life have been completely defined, and it's been a really nerve-wracking experience. We've had a great contest, and it's been very, very close, both between myself and Alf and myself and Carlos, and it's a huge relief. But something that I really looking forward to the challenge of helping the island and in particular the people of Aaron Michael over the next few years.
Carlos Phillips, you ran a very active campaign. You went and you engaged with the younger voters. You are in fact the youngest person to stand in this election.
Yes.
Commiserations, you're a gallant loser, but have you enjoyed the campaign?
It's been fantastic, it really has. I feel a sense of a positivity for the future. I think a page has been turned for the island. We're in a new chapter. We're looking forward now. It's going to be a fresh, bold new house. I think much is expected of them. And I'll be one of the many citizens who are looking and egging them on, really.
How would you feel about being Chief Minister?
Well, I'm going to give that matter some very serious consideration over the weekend. You know, there's some real incredible challenges facing the island at the moment. They require a proper programme from government that clearly sets out our objectives and also, you know, delivers proper outcomes, real outcomes for people, because at the moment we're failing to do that. I think the people of the island and of the constituency of Aaron Michael have expressed those frustrations to me very, very clearly, and we need to change. We now have an opportunity to do that. It's not business as normal. The status quo cannot carry on. We must work quickly to deliver a clear, decisive, proper integrated plan for the island, for its finances, and to allow us to continue to build and develop our economy as well.
That was Alf Cannon and Tim Baker, the successful candidates at Aaron Michael, John.
We'll give you the list of the runners and riders and the winners in just a moment, but five women are now in the House of Keys. Is it the most we've ever had? I don't know. We're going to have to check up on this.
I think it is.
The whole subject of sex equality got the fur flying last night in the studio here at Manx Radio. It was a theme taken up by former Chief Minister Tony Brown and continued by Angela Moffat.
My predecessor back in 1976 was a woman. It doesn't matter to me whether you're male or female. What matters to me, are you the person that's right for the job? And if you're good at it, I don't care what sex you are, just get on with the job. And some of the people I've worked with in there, both political and professional within the civil servant, who've been very good and hold top jobs, are women. It doesn't matter. We should not get into that argument. Just get the right people doing the right job.
I don't think anybody's arguing that women can do good jobs at a senior level.
Yes, they can.
I think nobody's arguing about that. We all agree that women are equally as capable as men. What we're saying is, why are they not getting the same chances as men? So why are they not having the same opportunities?
And the question there, I think, Angela.
I don't know, Tony. I think it's a little bit disingenuous to sort of pretend that the Isle of Man has always been incredibly progressive on this issue.
No, I didn't say that.
When I came back to the Isle of Man to live, I mean, I'm Manx born and bred. I went away from the island. I spent time studying and working away. I came back to the Isle of Man in 97. To my horror, we didn't have sex discrimination legislation at that time. Why? Because the boys' club kept putting it on the back shelf because it wasn't important enough. It wasn't on their priority list.
Well,
we had to step up to the plate at that time, the trade union movement, and make it a priority. And it was shameful. shameful for the Isle of Man at that time that we had no sex discrimination legislation. It's 2016 now, and we still don't have the Equality Act in. Why? Because the Boys Club put it on the back burner. Because equality issues, age discrimination, disability discrimination, despite the fact that those two issues are burning issues for a substantial part of a vulnerable population here, and they've been put on the back burner by this government and previous administration, yours included when you were chief minister.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
And, you know, I want to see that brought forward and something happening on it. And I'll tell you what, I think tonight, potentially, if these exit polls are right, and they may not be, but you could find that the complacency that you're talking about, there's a group of MHKs get a kick in here and ultimately get kicked out because people are fed up of it.
Angela Moffat, who never holds back when she has an opinion, obviously, quite rightly too, and that's former Chief Minister Tony Brown speaking before her.
Thanks very much, John. Well, change, new faces. The Isle of Man's decided who will represent them over the next 5 years. If you're just tuning in, the Infrastructure Minister Phil Gawn and vocal backbencher John Horton shunned by voters. They're the main casualties. David Quirk, after a decade, is out. Leonard Singer, that spells the end of his political career at the age of 73. And John Jochen missed out by just 7 votes after one of the shortest terms, just 10 months in Keys. We'll continue our look around the constituencies in a moment.
Citywing.com. Going to all your favourite destinations this summer. Whether for business or pleasure, let Citywing take you to Belfast and beyond.
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Mann Benham advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Mann Benham on 639 350. Mann Benham advocates, speaking your language.
Official Isle of Man government figures show that heating your home with oil is cheaper than gas, and no costly standing charges to pay for either. So keep topped up with Manx Petroleum. Manx Petroleum deliver a range of quality fuels to island homes, businesses, industry and agriculture. For details of our automatic delivery service, easy payment plan, boiler servicing and repairs, contact Manx Petroleum on 691 691, the island's premier fuel supplier.
Attention! Get your boots on, Islanders, and march straight to Barbary Coast!
Okay, mister!
That's a silly walk!
I'm just crazy for the famous Piri Piri! And there's no rush! Barbary Coast serves till 10 p.m, 7 days a week!
Don't you be telling me, boy! I've been going since this parrot was alive!
Sorry, I'll give you a sweet kiss!
You what?
One of the cocktails, Sarge!
Barbary Coast. Follow us on Facebook. Tap barbarycoast.im or visit North Quay Douglas.
Are you seeking to raise the profile of your business? If so, there's only one place to be seen. Business 365 is the Isle of Man's premier dedicated business publication, with the widest distribution and the most relevant content, covering all sectors of the island's business community. With modern, eye-catching design and intelligent, thought-provoking features, it's the clear market leader. To book space for your company in the next issue, call the sales team today. Business 365. Setting the agenda.
Precision engineering and passion. Your Audi, Volkswagen, Seat or Skoda is more than just a car. When it comes to maintaining your pride and joy, you really need someone you can trust. Auto Solutions provide dealer quality servicing at independent prices. For the latest equipment, professional technicians and competitive rates, visit Auto Solutions, Vicarage Road, Braddon.
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Enjoy all the summer delights that Belfast has to offer, with great food, live music and more. Join the Mystery Treasure Trail, hop on a Segway tour, visit the Oyster Festival and don't forget Titanic Belfast, the Game of Thrones tour and filming locations. This summer the adventure begins when you travel to Belfast with Citywing.
This is Election Special with James Davis and myself, John Moss. The exit polls have given a new dimension to election night. They're not always accurate, but MD of Manx Radio Anthony Pugh says overall they're a good indicator.
They have been astonishingly accurate, but one of the trends that I've noticed today, which we've never come across in the past, is that more people have been reluctant to speak to the students That has never been an issue. So I would say, with the exception of the North, the Northern constituencies, people seem to be more willing to speak, but certainly in Douglas and in the west of the island, people were more reluctant to speak. You know, we have to thank the school kids. There were 25 polling stations that were manned for three sessions today. It was six formers from the island schools. They've done sterling work, and let's hope that our calculations have turned out to be fairly accurate. You know, we noticed, I heard you a few moments ago talking about Middle, where you were saying Howard Quayle was out. But when you look at the percentages, the three candidates are within, I think,
very
from
close.
Memory, 3 or 4%. Yeah. So, you know, that could go anyway.
Anthony Pugh, Manx Radio's Managing Director. We'll be back after the headlines.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your legal needs. Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shaw Radio Vanin, this is Manx Radio.
The headlines at 8:30. Mara Mai, good morning. The next House of Keys will be awash with new blood, but there'll be a dearth of political experience. 12 of the 24 members enter national politics for the first time. After five former members were ousted at the polls yesterday, seven more choosing not to defend their seats. Four more women MHKs have been elected, swelling female ranks in Tynwald to five, and the Lib Van Party has a louder voice, with three members winning seats in the National Parliament. Last night's casualties include Infrastructure Minister Phil Gawn, David Quirk rejected in Onchan, and Leonard Singer ousted in Ramsey. Vocal backbencher John Horton lost his seat in Douglas North, and around the island in the newly drawn constituencies, new members were elected alongside those defending seats. No change in Rushen, Douglas South and Glenfarber and Peel. In Garth, two new faces were guaranteed. Further afield, and Yahoo has revealed the details of half a billion of its users were stolen 2 years ago. Names, email addresses, dates of birth and security questions and answers were taken in what's believed to be the biggest ever cyber hack. Rebel-held areas of Aleppo have come under heavy fire for a second day after the Syrian government announced the start of a major offensive. A squadron of five aircraft has been seen in the skies above the city, days after a week-long ceasefire collapsed. Relatives of a black man shot dead by police in North Carolina say he had his hands by his side at the time in footage shown to them. Charlotte's police chief has admitted the video of the shooting of Keith Scott does not definitively show him pointing a gun at officers. And Brad Pitt's facing allegations he clashed with one of his children while on a private plane. The FBI says it's gathering information on the alleged incident and will decide whether to open an investigation into the actor. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 9 o'clock.
Thanks, Marion.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your general and commercial legal needs. Call 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
Mandate, brought to you by Selton Manx, global leader in sports betting, a partner in the island's success.
Welcome back. The morning after the night before, John Moss and James Davis in the studio with the man who topped the poll in Onchan, Rob Collister. Many congratulations. How does it feel?
Fantastic, James.
You sound tired.
You look very sunburned tired as well.
I got sunburned. I don't know why the weather was so hot in Onchan, but I got sunburned standing on the doorstep for 12 hours. But I'm absolutely elated for the results. I feel sorry for the other candidates because I've made some very good friends. As I said, Peter Caron was a massive MHK for Onchan, and they're big shoes to fill. I also have to pay tribute to David Quirk. He's been a fantastic community MHK. We've got a new generation. I look forward to working with Julie. And I'm looking forward to building these bridges with our businesses, with our community, with the local authority. It's a fantastic 5 years. I'm going to work my socks off for Onchan. I really am.
Listening to Peter Caron in the last few days and last night, he still seems to have the taste for politics in his mouth, doesn't he?
I spoke to Peter last night, and yes, he's got politics in his blood.
So he's coming. He will be coming back, will he? He sounded as if he wanted to.
I'm going to make sure he can't come back, and that's what I'm going to do. A great job for the next 5 years, and I'm going to fill those shoes because I want to make sure that the people of Onchan are heard with a strong voice. I want all sections of our community. I want the businesses to have a voice. I want the local authority to have a voice over the next 5 years. And more importantly, I want the people of Onchan to have a voice.
And you and Julie Edge can work together and work with Garth as well?
Yeah.
Because obviously there's that link now.
Yeah, as I said, I've spoke to Julie. I think we'll work fantastic. I already have a good working relationship with Kate Beecroft and the Lib Van Party, and I also have a good working relationship with the Labour Party. So I'm happy to work with anybody. As for the Garth, I think it's a fantastic result. I've already started building bridges with Daphne and with Martin. I think the eastern area of the island are well covered, and I think I can work very well with Martin and Daphne and with Julie. I think the people of Onchan do not have any worries in the parishes, and we're ready to go.
Rob Collister, Onchan MHK. How does that sound? Well, well done. Many congratulations. Thanks for popping in this morning.
Just one point. It's quite interesting. Just before you go, Rob, do you regard the bit of Onchan that's gone to Garth as... will you have people from that bit of Onchan still coming to Onchan to get their problems solved?
I've put it on my Facebook today. One of my election pledges was I will serve all 9,000.
But isn't that nicking someone else's constituency?
No, because what I'll do is if anyone comes to me and they're in the parish, I live in the parish. I am an Onchan ratepayer, but I live in the parish. I will be working with Martin, I'll be working with Daphne, and I'll be working with Julie. And what I'm going to say is that Garth and Onchan are going to have four fantastic MHKs, and I know we can all work together.
So it's going to be Gonkin, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's going to be Onchan, Onchan North, and it's going to be Garth.
The whole boundary change thing, the fact that some Onchan residents feel a bit disenfranchised, not with the candidates, but the fact they'll be now represented by someone who lives in Laxey and someone who represents in Mackled. And the turnouts last night, that could fill another programme. We won't have time for that today. Of course, you and Julie Edge, Lib Van in, excuse me, in Onchan, also Lib Van in Douglas South. It's as you were. Stuart Peters was there and, well, uttered those immortal words.
There you go, first result in, and I'm with Bill Mullarkey now. Bill, good result.
Yes, great result, obviously, Stuart. Delighted to be back again. I'm really over the moon. Bit disappointed with the turnout, though.
I think it was about 40%, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's quite low, to be honest. We're normally in the 50s in South Douglas.
And what do you put that down to?
I don't know, really, because the weather was really good today. And we thought at first, well, certainly up at Skill Valley Gill, the turnout seemed to be quite good. So whether some of the other areas let us down, I don't know.
All right, let's have a quick word with Kate Beecroft. Hello. Congratulations, Kate.
Thank you very much indeed.
So this is one box ticked. What's the next one going to be, Chief Minister?
Oh, I need a good sleep after this before I think of that one.
So you're ready to hit the ground running?
Of course, yes. Yeah. As I say, when I've had a rest, it's a long campaign and I think everyone gets tired at the end of it. But I don't feel tired at the moment with that result, actually. I'm really pleased.
All right. And Keith Fitton did reasonably well. But are you disappointed?
I'm a bit disappointed. Really, I left it too late, and maybe a few more weeks of getting out and knocking on doors would have made a difference. But yeah, I don't regret standing. I gave it a go, and congratulations to the guys. They've got a tough time ahead, so yeah, good luck to them.
David Fowler.
Yeah.
Not the best result, but I mean, are you heartened to an extent by the number of votes you got?
I think so. Yeah, it was a reasonable amount I've got. You know, I mean. You know, there might be a by-election come up in a year or two and I might have another bash at it, you know.
So never say never.
That's right, yeah.
Stuart Peters at Douglas South. Well, I think it's fair to say the new government must hit the ground running. Certainly that's the belief of Chris Thomas, who was elected to the constituency of Douglas Central alongside the new MHK, Anne Corlett. Mr Thomas topping the poll, 1,571 votes. Mrs Corlett, 1,031. Speaking moments after the declaration, he told Howard Kane, whilst his previous policy of getting to the facts seems to have paid dividends, the earlier days of this new administration will be vital.
It's not only about asking questions, it's about us, it's about now, it's about putting in place policies, new laws, a new allocation of budgets to make the most of that first 100 days so we can achieve everything we can possibly achieve in 5 years, and we've got an awful lot to achieve given what the public have told us.
And you've got that in your top of your list of priorities, the National Government Programme for 2017-2021.
Absolutely vital. I've always called it Isle of Man 2020, which I put together back in May 2013 for my by-election. We need policy matters. We don't have parties in the Isle of Man. We have independents working consensually, but policy matters, and that's That's what I'm all about as a politician, and also trying to rebuild confidence in people. Like, we got such a shock today. You wouldn't believe going around Douglas Central how many pensioners were angry with politicians, and pensioners don't get angry very much, but that told me something. It's a very delicate situation, and politicians themselves are being challenged.
And I know you also said we should ensure pensions and benefits rise at least in line with prices. Easier to say than to do?
That's what has been happening in the past, and we've chosen to break that link. Yes, everything's going to be difficult. Government finances are fragile, they are delicate. It's going to take a group of people coming together very quickly, working diligently to put together a programme of new law, conserving policies, changing policies, and actually, hopefully, I'm really, really confident that we can do this, but it's going to be touch and go. In 5 years' time, we'll be looking back and saying this is one of the low points, but we've done something positive about it. But we've got to make the most of the next 100 days.
And you've been myth-busting as well. That's something you were strong on in your manifesto, talking about, well, disagreeing really with the idea and suggestions in some quarters the island could go bust. You say reserves are as large as they were in 2011.
And that's true. Factually, it's true. You can't call it counting sleight of hand. It's actually audited accounts that are prepared according to accounting standards. Yeah, the reserves could be bigger because they haven't increased in real terms. They haven't made up for inflation, but they are actually the same as they were before. And our crown jewels is the National Insurance Fund, and that's what provides a bedrock for our social security and state pension system in the future. The economy really isn't working for people, though. We've got to revisit so many policies and so many practices in government, and that's what I've laid out in my manifesto, and that's now what I'll be talking with new colleagues in the House of Keys to, I hope, persuade the right Chief Minister to come forward, who can work as first amongst equals with a group of colleagues, so that we can achieve something in the first 100 days that we can build on to make the Isle of Man better within 5 years.
So is the island in serious trouble then or not, in your view?
It's not as... This next 5 years is going to be about proper communication. It's going to be about explaining things fully, warts and all. It's not going to be about PR. It's going to be about communication. So we have serious problems, but we can deal with them. I'm an optimist, glass half full politician. We can deal with them, but it's going to be tricky. And the first start is to get things done in the next 100 days and to move from a policy of PR to a policy of communication, which involves listening, explaining fully, warts and all, explaining what's going to happen, what could happen, and what you're going to do about it, and what the risks are.
Someone said, ideal next Treasury Minister.
Really? There are other roles as well.
Howard Kane, speaking to Chris Thomas there. Successful with Ann Call at the unsuccessful candidates in Douglas Central, Kurt Buchholz, Richard Fogg, Sarah Heckman and Michelle Inglis. We have had so many responses. Thank you very much. I'll be passing them on to the Talking Heads team, and we'll also be focusing quite big on what happens now in Mandate on Monday, all of next week, and Agenda on Monday evening.
A summary for you. Five women in the House now: Claire Betterson, Julie Edge, Kate Beecroft, Daphne Kane and Anne Corlett. 12 new faces, 12 familiar ones. I'll give you a full rundown, a full SP of the winners last night in the programme in just a few minutes. But first, we're going north to Ramsey, a landslide victory for the Ramsey challenger, Alex Allenson. He received almost 3,000 votes and a massive 47.1% backing from the people of the Northern Capital. It was all change in the constituency. Lib Van member Laurie Hooper was also voted in. The result means long-serving member Leonard Singer lost his seat. Simon Clark was at the count.
To invite the candidates to address the gathering if they would so wish to do so, please.
First of all, we'll get a quick word with Alex Allenson. Top the poll. Yep. Must be very, very happy.
Very, very happy. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Robert Jelski, the returning officer, the counters, and all the other officials who've ensured that the election has run smoothly, despite problems with the ballot cards at the last moment. The turnout for the people in Ramsey has been tremendous, and this is a testament to the sense of community and solidarity in the town, and shows that local people are still passionate about politics and want to choose who's going to represent them in Tynwald. I'd like to thank the other candidates for a dignified campaign and look forward to working with Laurie Hooper. Ramsey has two MHKs, but for the benefit of the town, we need to work together and have one united voice. I'm humbled and honoured by the trust placed in me to represent all the people of Ramsey. I pledge to live up to this trust, to represent the people of this amazing town and the people of this fabulous island. Political campaigns tend to be based on fear or hope. I'm confident that this result shows that hope will prevail, that we can preserve our unique way of life and build a more fair and equal society. Lastly, I'd like to thank all the people who helped my campaign. the friends and patients who encouraged me, my GP partners who supported me, and my wonderful wife and family who have inspired me. Thank you very much.
There we go, Dr. Allanson, top of the poll here. Ian Ramsey, and we'll get Laurie Hooper here. We'll get him live as he addresses the public here in the St. Paul's Hall, and we'll put it live on Max Radio as well.
Thanks very much. I am completely blown away, to be honest. So thanks very much to everyone in Ramsey that's put a lot of trust and faith in me, and I'll do my absolute best to make sure that I fulfill that and honour that trust. Thanks very much to everyone that's helped me out throughout this campaign, my family and especially my wife. There's no way I could have done this without you. That's really it. I'm still in shock, to be honest. So, like I said, thank you very much. I will do my absolute best for you. Thanks again.
Yeah, still a young age, Laurie, and 29, I think it is. Hopefully a lot of years in politics, and that was one of your things, trying to get a bit more youth into the government as well.
Yeah, I think a sort of a wider mix in government will be helpful. More younger people, more women being elected, as we've seen across the island. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, we'll let you go and join your team, and congratulations. There we go. That's the result here from Ramsey. I'll just move out of the way. So that's the elected members, Alex Allison, and also Laurie Hooper, and, of course, the long-serving MHK Leonard Singer losing his seat in Ramsey.
And indeed, by about 1,000 votes, out with the old, in with the new, very much a new dawn in Ramsey. We'll be heading to Glenfaber and Peel, Garth and Russian after this.
Here's your coat, dear. I'm off for a drink.
Oh, lovely. I fancy a drink.
No, not you. I've turned the heating off.
That's it. I'm fed up with being cold. We need a passive house from Complete Construction Services. They're so eco-friendly, they don't even need a heating system.
We can't afford a passive house.
Of course we can. They're surprisingly reasonable. And with no scary heating bills, we'll be much better off.
You're right, dear, as usual.
Search online for Complete Construction IOM.
I've just been looking at the Greenhouse Company online.
Oh?
They've loads of greenhouses to choose from, all designed to withstand the Manx weather.
Right.
So I was thinking...
Here we go.
...that we should go and see them for ourselves at Greva Plant Centre.
And who's going to build it?
The Greenhouse Company. They do it all from planning to completion.
Oh, in that case, let's go.
The Greenhouse Company. For a free quotation, call 877-951 or search for them online.
Here, do you want to know a secret? Let me tell you about this great little pub. It's called the Tin Walled Inn. It's set in a beautiful location slap bang in the middle of the island in St. John's. It does home-cooked food to remind you of just how your mother makes it, complete with a five-star service. The Tin Walled Inn are also stocked with fine ales and a welcoming real open fire. And don't forget, they're the last standing pub on the original TT course. The Tin Walled Inn. Call 803-068 and raise a toast with them. Slent Vi!
Tibby Hair and Beauty, at the entrance to Balthane Estate, Ballasella. Easy, free on-site parking. Join us in our relaxed, welcoming, friendly environment. Enjoy the most professional services using the very latest technologies in hair and beauty. Whether a wedding, birthday, proms or hen party, Tibby will make it special. We'll even provide the bubbly and nibbles. Join us for a very special Tibby experience. Flexible appointments Monday to Saturday, late on Thursday. Call us on 825309 or Pat on 431026.
Welcome back.
You're listening to Manx Radio's coverage of the election the night before. Obviously, if you're just waking up, and a few people will be, this is what happened. These are the winners. Arbery Castletana-Malou, Jason Morehouse and Graham Crajean, Aaron Michael, Alfred Cannon and Tim Baker, Douglas Central, Chris Thomas and Anne Corlett, Douglas East, Claire Betterson and Chris Robertshaw, Douglas North, David Ashford and Ralph Peake, Douglas South, Kate Beecroft and Bill Mullarkey, Garth, we'll be hearing from in a moment, Martin Perkins and Daphne Kane, Glenfaber and Peel, Ray Harmer and Geoffrey Boot, in Middle, Bill Shimmins and Howard Quayle. In Onken, Rob Collister and Julie Edge. Ramsey, Alex Allanson and Laurie Hooper. And in Russian, Juan Watterson and Lawrence Skelly. 12 new names, 12 old names and 5 women now in the House of Keys.
Two new faces were guaranteed in Garth, of course, with Steve Roden stepping down. There was a double recount there. Martin Perkins, businessman, topping the poll, and civil servant Daphne Kane becoming the 5th woman in the next House. She gave her view after their late declaration to Ian Cottier.
I think it's a significant improvement on the previous House Keys and more representative, but still not entirely representative, of the Isle of Man. I think that the culture perhaps may change, and perhaps it's necessary to change. But I think that seeing so many new faces in the Keys is the key thing here, and that when the new house has a chance to bed in, that we might see real change to put the priorities of the candidates who stood in this election forward.
Now, those priorities, are any of your priorities specifically gender issues?
No, not at all. My priorities are openness in government. I want to, you know, maintain the security of our community and maintain the culture as well of what the Isle of Man is about. And I think that the Isle of Man is a wonderful place, and that with the drive and the positivity behind the new candidates coming forward, I just think that we can be really optimistic about the future, not denying that there is a load of hard work coming our way.
Suppose you were invited to become a member of a department, which would be your best dream?
Oh, I would be happy and honoured to be invited to be a member of any department, but considering my recent experiences as a civil servant, I think there are certain places where perhaps I shouldn't go too quickly, and that there are many challenges. I think perhaps education, possibly health or home affairs, would be of interest to me, but I would be happy to serve in any way that I'm invited to.
And looking forward for the next 5 years, what would you say to a woman who was considering standing for Tynwald?
I would probably recommend that they give themselves more than 5 weeks, because that was an incredible roller coaster, not least of all this evening with the ups and downs. I think that I would say you do need a very strong campaign team behind you, and I just feel enormously blessed that not only did I have Mike and Hilary Sim as my campaign manager and chief, I had also so many wonderful helpers from Dudley Butt, from Sue Tumman, from Paula Gelling, and others that I'm going to forget, but and also my husband, because without the partnership of a husband who's prepared to do the childcare and help around the house in an equal partnership, I wouldn't be here. So I'm enormously grateful to all of them.
Daphne Kane, she was actually my mentor, John, when I started as a journalist, a trainee journalist, and was really helpful. She's a strong woman, and she'll work hard for the people of Garth.
5 weeks is not a long time. Included in that was a pre-booked holiday, I think, of a week. So that's not an example to be followed, by the way. Give yourself more time.
Well, she got in deservedly so. Martin Perkins as well, praising his opponents for a positive campaign battle. Relieved it's all over, though.
It's been a long, hard campaign, a very clean campaign, and worthy opponents. And I don't think our political differences are that much. So it became clear halfway through that one had to differentiate yourself from the rest of them. But it's been quite difficult, and it's been a big area to cover.
Well, part of your sales pitch, if we can call it that, was based on your successful career in industry.
Yes, and I think the general public warmed to that, because they felt that we need a dose of reality, if you like, on our spending, things we spend money on, and basically looking at the Manning situation possibly, and that they've had enough of expensive consultants coming in from outside. It became clear that they weren't happy with the promenade, the people in Onchan, and I think I sort of touched a nerve on that and got people on board.
Now, it's axiomatic that in an independent Tynwald, one person has a limited amount of leverage. What's going to be your priority in trying to offset that?
I've got a feeling that there are so many new MHKs going in. They will not have any preconceived ideas that the old guard had. And I hope that we can all work together and pull together and really go out and sell the Isle of Man and bring new business in, which is what we desperately need.
Martin Perkins speaking to Ian Cotty. I think he'll be a real success. A lot of promise there, and he ran an impressive campaign, John.
Well, it was Watterson and Skelly in at Rush, and Charles Gard was there to watch the declaration.
The candidates for Rush elected to the House of Keys are Duan Paul Watterson and Lawrence David Skelly. Thank you.
Well, congratulations to both of you. A very close-run thing.
How do you feel, Mr. Watson?
Well, I'm obviously delighted, and I think the first thing would be to thank the people of Rushen for putting their trust in me for another 5 years. I'd like to thank all the candidates for making it a good, clean, fair fight. I'd like to thank my supporters for stuffing envelopes and manning polling stations on the day. Obviously, to thank the returning officer and his staff, but I'm honoured and flattered by the people of Rushen to be given a mandate to take forward for the next 5 years. Thank you.
And Mr. Skelly. So two ministers returned. I have to say that Manx Radio's exit polls were quite accurate here, though perhaps a little closer than you were comfortable.
Yes, very, very close, but I think that sort of says a lot about the people of Rushen and in terms of the quality of candidates that they always put forward. And it's great to see an election, it's great to see democracy actually in work, and obviously I'm delighted, and I'd just like to thank everyone who's helped me, and that goes from my campaign manager, Ashton Lewis, and my family in particular, and the number of people that helped me is just phenomenal. So I'm delighted and overjoyed, and I'm looking forward to the next 5 years.
Well, the next 5 years. I mean, the big thing now is hunt the next chief minister. You obviously are going to put yourself forward as a candidate. Would that be fair?
Well, I think it's fair to say that I'm delighted to be elected. Now it's up to the members to put people forward. Should they want to put me forward, I'd be delighted to do so. I'm happy to represent Rushen, and I'm happy to represent the Isle of Man.
Your department, though, has quite a few problems it's been dealing with recently. I mean, we would have to mention the World Series and the Vision 9 and the business at the Villa and the Gaiety and so on. I mean, there's a bit of a legacy there, isn't there?
There is a legacy, and I think that's reflective in the vote more than anything else. But that's not about, I think it's all about what you actually achieve on the aggregate, and that's what's happened tonight. The people of Rushen have actually put their faith in me. And I'm overjoyed with that, to be quite frank. And so I'm glad to be back.
If you do get to be Chief Minister, what would your priority be in those first weeks?
Well, I think we have to look here. It's going to be a new dawn, a new era, and obviously a new government. What we do need to do is to ensure that we have an open, transparent government, and we need to ensure that we get the trust and the confidence in the people. It's been a difficult 5 years. These next 5 years are going to be even more turbulent for the economic and social welfare of the Isle of Man. However, I think there is a very solid foundation, and I believe we can build that and hopefully go forward.
And of course, Lawrence Skelly, possible chief minister is the phrase on most lips at the moment.
Lots more to talk about there. Let's finish Glenfaber and Peel this morning, where it's as you were. Here's Tanya Humbles.
Harmer topped the polls with 2,195 votes. Boot accompanies him after coming in second with 1,805. They're certain that they will work well together.
Thank you, Tanya.
Yes, it's wonderful. I'm absolutely delighted, absolutely thrilled. Beyond my wildest dreams, really. And, you know, such a positive result for us. And well, hopefully we can move forward. Tourism, fishing and everything. We have to get the sewage treatment in both St John's and Peel. That has to happen in the next 2 years. That's really key. And also, because there's been quite a lot of growth in our constituency, we have to have the infrastructure to meet the needs of that constituency, be it health and also roads and issues such as that.
Yeah, because of course Peel is growing, and it does continue to grow actually. It's quite popular, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderfully popular, and the thing is, it's also a destination for people across the island to come, you know, for the weekend, for, you know, for a drink or for a meal or whatever. And the whole West is, you know, such a wonderful place to live.
It's where you get the sunset, I suppose.
Yeah. Yes, it is, absolutely. And it's just, well, it's stunning. There's nowhere better.
Do we have anything further on the regeneration in Peel? What's happening there?
Well, the key thing there is just, as I say, that we need to make sure our infrastructure is right. The basics, you know, the power cables, the sewers, the water mains, all right, because if you don't get that right, you know, the buildings will suffer underneath. So, you know, that's something that I will continue to push forward. There's lots of people that want to work on to get on lots of exciting projects. So, yes, that is a key part, the next 5 years.
And what about internationally?
Internationally, obviously, we've got to look at the impact of Brexit. There's so many different opportunities as well economically. New technologies are coming out, crowdfunding, biomedicine, things like that, and we've got to be ready place to be there, and we've got to have those relationships across, you know, globally actually, to get that business in, work with our core strengths, not try and reinvent the wheel, but where there's new opportunities, take advantage of them.
Working with Mr. Boots, are you going to enjoy it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been working really well over the last year. We have a very good friends, you would say, and we'll be moving forward together, really.
You concur?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We share similar views, and I'm sure we will continue to work together for the West, the new team, as it were.
Obviously, Glenfaber residents do have some concerns that cropped up in the requisition meetings relating to whether or not they'll be properly represented, simply because of the numbers, I suppose, that are in Peel by comparison. What would you say to that?
I don't think that makes any difference at all. I've said at both requisition meetings and made it very clear in my manifesto that I believe, the West is one now. We must work together, put any differences to one side. I'm fully committed to the joint constituency, no favour to either side, and the residents of Glenfaber, I think, appreciate the fact that I am going to represent them and Peel, and I think Ray has made the same commitment.
Absolutely, because there are issues that we've got to be sensitive about. That we talked about speeding in some of the rural areas, we talked about rural broadband. All of those issues are key, and they're important across the constituency. So there are lots of similarities. Both farming and fishing are key in our area, and we've got to protect and support them.
Glenfaber and Peel, Tanya Humbles with that report. That just about rounds us up, John.
You could say Glenfaber and Peel have been rebooted, I suppose.
Been working on that for a while.
I have, yeah. Yeah, it's been an intriguing night. Just to repeat the headlines, which we'll hear in the news in just a moment, 12 new faces, 12 old faces and 5 women in the House of Keys. Been an exciting last night. It's been an exciting morning. And the fun has only just begun, if I can say that, because, of course, now we wonder who's going to be Chief Minister, which is going to be so relevant to everything that happens in the next few weeks, months and indeed years. So that's it. Hope you enjoyed the programme. For the moment, it's a goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Thanks for your company.